Father, I thank you as always in the name of Jesus. Let that word bring that light and that understanding into our hearts as we look into the perfect law of liberty this morning in the name of Jesus. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Exodus 33 and 14 is where I want to start today. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. I know we covered that when we're talking about rest, but I also want to look at it from the point of view of guidance. You know, for the Lord's presence to be with us, to guide us through every scenario, every situation, whatever confronts us, whatever we're dealing with, that's what this promise is about. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. I'm going to be calling out several promises and then talking through some of them. Job 32 and verse 8, one of my favorite scriptures when it comes to the Lord giving us understanding and inspiration. But there is a spirit in man, Job 32 and 8, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Now, this understanding comes to guide us, to illuminate our minds, and to instruct us. You know, and once you figure this out, you'll never be confused or walk in confusion, because we know that the Lord's Spirit is always there to give us understanding. And especially, you know, when we are attentive, you got to be attentive to how the Lord is leading. You know, God has given us generic and global and corporate instructions in this Bible, but specific instructions from the Lord, the Holy Spirit, come to you directly from Him by the Spirit of God. It will not go outside the Word, but it will fine-tune instructions for the specific situation that you are in. And it comes by the Spirit of the Lord, dropping it into our own spirit for understanding and for guidance. So that's a very powerful scripture. I have so many testimonies around that, you know, how God has done that. Job 32 and 8. And let's take a look at Psalm 31, verses 3 and 4. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Hallelujah. Pull me also out of the net that they have slayed secretly for me. You know, so this is kind of a prayer, but it's also, you know, we're trusting that the Lord is able to do that, to guide us, to lead us, and to give us a clean escape, you know, from the plans of the enemy. That's also about guidance. God will guide you, you know, and instruct you in the way you should go. Go this way, go that way, don't go that way, and so forth. Keep you from the evil. He does that. Powerful promises. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will lead you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Point blank promise of guidance. He will lead you in the way that you should go, and he will tell you where you should not go. So that's, you know, we got to listen to that. The Holy Spirit instructing us where to go, where not to go, you know, what to do and what not to do from time to time. We've got to incline our ears to be tuned in. We covered that, you know, some weeks ago when we were dealing with, you know, hearing the voice of God, you know, and so on. But these are promises about how God will guide us. Powerful promises. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust thou also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That means the Lord will guide you in the way, guide you into success, guide you into victory. But you must commit your way unto him. Psalm, the same chapter, verse 23 of that verse, Psalm 37 and 23. The steps of a good man, or righteous man, are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delighteth in his way. Praise the Lord, you know. So that's powerful. The Lord will order your steps. Order your steps to protect you and to guide you. And he will even delight in you. Delight, because you delighted in him, he also will delight in your way. He will make bring it to pass. Psalm 73 and verse 34. Psalm 73 and verse 34. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Woo-hoo! Isn't that beautiful? And I say amen to that. Thou, O Lord, guide me with your counsel throughout my life, and then afterward you receive me to glory. Woo! That alone right there is enough to make us shout. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for promises such as this, that you will guide us daily through our lives. And then afterwards, you promised us glory. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. That's Psalm 73 and verse 34. Psalm 119, verse 109. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He lights up your path to provide guidance for you to make sure that you don't stumble. That's all from the Word of God. The Word of God has instruction to guide us and to lead us. The Bible can be an acronym, B-I-B-L-E, you know, for many things. Some people say, you know, basic instruction before leaving earth. You know, I like to say it's basic instruction book for living every day. He guides us every day. So think of the Bible like that. It's our instruction book for living every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's listen to Psalm 121 verse 8. In fact, the whole Psalm is a beautiful Psalm of how the Lord will guide us in and out. You know, how he will be with us, how we ought to lift up our eyes unto him, and promises that he will never forsake us. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. But here in verse 8 of Psalm 121, it said, the Lord shall preserve thy going. And that also means he will guide you in your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forever. Powerful for us to trust in that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. But the understanding that the Spirit of God gives you, that's precious. We covered that in Job 32, verse 8 already. But don't lean to your own understanding, but lean upon his understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. He'll guide you. But you must acknowledge him. You must put it all into his hands. You know, don't try to figure it all out by yourself. You know, but he will drop the understanding in your spirit. Trust him always for that. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord guides or directs his steps. You know, so it's a good thing for us to you know, make our plans, but you make your plans according to the guidance of the Lord. The Lord will guide and direct your steps so that your steps will not be straightened as thou goest. He will guide you. You will not stumble. He will open up, you know, the path before you step by step. These are promises of guidance. And we must trust the Lord. I want to remind us that we've said throughout this series, that we must know the promises of God. Got to know the promises of God. That's number one thing. Because it's not a promise unless you know that it was promised. And also, when we know the promise, we got to be mixed with faith in our hearts. Hallelujah. You know, another translation for Proverbs 4 and verse 12 says, as thou goest, step by step, I will open up the way before you. You know, in some place it says, you know, thy foot steps shall not be straightened. The Lord will guide you step by step. Powerful promises, you know. And so there is really never any reason for anybody to be in confusion when we have all these powerful promises. You know, listen to even Isaiah 30 and verse 21. The Lord promises us point blank instruction when we are about to make a mistake. We must rely on Him. You know, when you are at a crossroads, He will guide you as well. Your ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand or to the left, He will be there with you. All the way, He will be there with you. And He will guide you and show you which way to go. Isaiah 30 and 21. That's powerful stuff. Always remember that. I always lean upon this scripture. Sometimes, you know, I say, well, you know, I'm about to make a decision this way or that way. The Lord promised that He will give you instruction. Hallelujah. So we must tune in to that instruction. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. This chapter talks about the benefits of fasting, consecrated fasting. And there are many things that He puts out in this chapter. One of them is in verse 11. And the Lord will guide you continually. Isn't that beautiful? Not just once in a while, but the Lord will guide you continually. And you can read the rest of all of the things that He says in that chapter for all the blessings that we can get from the Lord by consecrated fasting. But the Lord will guide you continually. That's in verse 11 of Isaiah 58. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's look at some verses. I've got a lot of scriptures to go, so I'm going to just go through them quickly because I'm still going to do a review at the end, so I don't want this to be too long. Let's look at some scriptures in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. Now, some powerful prayers here that are being prayed and released at this time. And it talks about the day spring from on high, visiting us and guiding our feet into the path of peace. That's beautiful. He will guide our feet into the path of peace. This was Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Finally, after the boy was born, Holy Spirit come upon him, and he's proclaiming these things. and say that the Lord is showing us the mercy that was promised to our fathers. He's remembering his holy covenant to us, even the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So powerful stuff. The Lord even promised that he's going to lead us step by step to find salvation and to find rest and peace in him. It's a beautiful, beautiful promises. We're covering promises of guidance. And I'm going to, in a minute, cover some other general promises that cover just about everything. And, you know, so let me just give you the rest of these promises here. Hallelujah. Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 18, he said, you know, he gave many parables and things like that to the intent, for the purposes of encouraging us to always pray and not to faint. And here's what he said in Luke chapter 18, verses 7-8. He's been talking about, you know, when somebody... A woman had cried out to the king, and the king wouldn't do anything because he couldn't care less about her situation. But because she continued to pester him, cry out every day, and wear him out, the man said, look, even though I couldn't care less about this situation, but if I don't, you know, do what this woman wants and get rid of her, she's going to wear me out. The only way to get rid of her, he thought, was let me better give her what she wants. And they would shut her up and leave me alone. And Jesus said, look, you know, and sometimes, you know, the way the Lord says these things, you know, like a sense of humor, you know, so the Lord said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out day and night unto him, even though he bear long with them? I mean, sometimes the Lord bears long with us. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, you know, I think sometimes to bring out character in us, you know, and to bring out, because he's like, look, answer me already. I mean, why, you know, but the Lord, sometimes he bears long. He's going to bring out that character, that posture of trust, you know, in us. But he said, look, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Speedily. But here's what he said, though. You know, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And right now I'm talking about, I've gone into the generic promises, other promises. I've covered the guidance. I'm now just talking about other promises. In general, you know, all encompassing promises. I mean, this one right here talks about, you know, when you are praying, you are seeking God, it looks like the answer may be long in coming. Jesus encourages us to keep on believing and not to give up, because he said he will answer speedily. So these are general promises now that I'm covering. But on the other hand, he also said, when the Son of Man actually eventually shows up in your situation that you've been believing God for, will you still be at the point of faith? When the Son of Man cometh, we know, you know, people interpret that to the, you know, coming of the Lord and so forth. Well, maybe. And it'll probably cover that as well. But you know, the things that he's talking about here are just natural things that we are praying about. And this woman wasn't praying for the coming of the Lord, just saying, avenge me of my enemy. You know, so, you know, if we put the context together, I dare say that this could mean when the Lord finally shows up for that situation that you have been praying about, will he find you still at that point of faith? This is the way I, you know, usually present this verse. Will he find you at a point of faith, or will you have packed it in? You'd have given up because, you know, long hope wearies the heart. You've been praying about it for a long time. The Lord bared long with you. It didn't seem as if the answer was coming, so you gave up. And then he shows up. And where are you? You already gave up. No, we don't want to do that. Hang in right there and stay upon your God. He's going to come through for you. Hallelujah. So when he shows up, let him find you at that point of faith, still believing. Glory to God. And then you can say, you can boldly say that I have kept the faith. I did not waver. I stood right there. I staggered not at the promise of God. And I waited right for it. You can say that then. If he finds you at the point of faith, when the answer finally shows up. Powerful stuff here. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Here's another promise about guidance, but it's also about the work of the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. There's many other things that he will do though, but guiding you into all truth is one of them. He will also show you things to come. Now, showing you things to come could mean any number of things. Any which way you take it, it'll work for you. One, point blank what it says. He will show you things to come. You know, so the Holy Spirit can show you because he knows the future. We don't. So we can rely on him to show us things to come. But I like to see it this way. You know, when you look at this as a promise of the Holy Spirit being with you and helping you in your prayer life, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He also helpeth our infirmities, because we don't know how we should pray like we ought. So this, the Holy Spirit helping you in your prayer life, look at this verse that says he will show you things to come. And think of that for a minute. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you the end of that prayer. You already see, he will show you the answer already. And when he shows you the answer already, which are things yet to come, you are believing God for something, the Holy Spirit can show it to you, the answer already, and then it will help you to elevate your faith and align yourself with that. Because the Holy Spirit already showed it to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In fact, this is the way that Jesus operated. All the time, said, Father showed me miracles and I did them. You know, and, you know, if I've shown you one miracle, you marvel. What are you going to do when the Father shows me even more things? You know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, the Holy Spirit show you things to come. You align with it and boom, you know, you latch your faith onto that. And that's how, you know, powerful faith and, you know, translate into results. Because you allow the Holy Spirit to show you the answer to what you are praying even before you physically see it. Well, does not the Bible say that faith is the evidence of things that we don't see yet? Well, the Holy Spirit will show you. You may not see it physically, but he can show it to you. And once he shows it to you, latch onto it. It's a done deal. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about some other general promises. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. This is my ASK rule. I call it the ASK rule. I always love to use acronyms. And this is one of the powerful. When I was a young man, the Lord gave me this scripture. And I always quoted verse 8 especially. But here's what it says. You know, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And verse 8 says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And this was something that powerful, so powerful that the Lord used to guide me in developing my faith when I was a young man. I always said, everyone that asks it, believe it. You know, but the ASK rule here is, how do you spell ask? Well, you spell ask ASK. It can also be an acronym, which is a double dual prophetic, you know, inspiration that comes out of this verse. Ask is ASK, but A is for ask, S is for seek, and K is for knock. I mean, so you can see this prophecy unfolding. I mean, you can see this revelation unfolding itself, you know, and Jesus tells you, you know, when this is how you do really asking, this is how you pray. You ask, that's A. You seek, that's S. You knock, that's K. You put it together, ASK, it still spells ask. You know, so powerful stuff. Jesus said, look, when you do this, you know, sometimes you got to pray about something. And then, you know, well, you may pray and maybe that's not enough. And you look for it. Maybe that's not enough. You go knocking. It's kind of like, you know, give an example. You're looking for a job or whatever. You can't just pray and stay in your house and be looking. You know, no, you know, then you got to go seek. You got to go knock on a few doors and things like that. You know, but you put it all together. You put these three pieces into your faith and it becomes action. You got to put action with your faith. That's believing. Faith with action is believing. So when we put faith like that, you know, that's in, you know, that's how we show that we believe, put our action with our faith. Again, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19, he says, again, I say unto you that if two of you, now these are some blanket promises, you know, we found specific promises for healing, for this, for that, and so on. But here are some generic blanket promises, and only God can do this. He has the capacity to say, ask me anything, and I will do it. Of course, we know we got to ask according to his will. Hallelujah. But here's what he says. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This is so powerful, especially husband and wife. You agree on this thing in the house. That's why the devil always try to put husband and wife at loggerhead so they can't agree on anything. Because he knows how powerful this stuff is. But my wife and I, we use this scripture all the time. It's agree on something powerful. We know it shall be done. And I have literally used this scripture. You know, even though I know touching here means concerning, you know, I've used it literally. I will put my hand on something and I say, well, I touch it. Agree with me. You know, I mean, look, childlike faith. He just walks. Yeah, it's amazing the stuff that you can get from the Lord when you believe him. That's Matthew 18 and 19. Matthew 21 and 22. And all things. I love this one. Now, it doesn't say some things. No. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. That is so powerful. Now, when we are on the, as long as we are on the subject of asking things in prayer, you know, remember that we must always ask according to his will. You know, you can't just ask things anyhow that, you know, that which is in what God has said. We can't just do that. But when we ask according to his will, here's what he says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything that's according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's a good understanding, you know, of how to pray. You can't just ask something anyhow and think you're going to get it just because he said, ask me anything. If it's not according to his will, he's always supreme. So the first thing for us is to understand the will of God. And a lot of it that's revealed in these scriptures. Guidance through the scriptures for us to understand that. And remember also, Lamentation 3 and 37. Who is he that saith, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? You know, so you can't just, you know, decree anything that's contrary to God's word or contrary to his will and think it's going to come to pass. You know, God is not behind that. But if it is in the sphere of his will, according to the revelation of his word and the Holy Spirit inspiring your heart to do the same, then, you know, anything goes. You can believe God. The sky's the limit, as people say. If you can believe God for it, Jesus said, all things in that realm that we described, you know, that you shall ask, believing in prayer, you shall receive. That is powerful. You know, so put your faith where your mouth is at, you know. Hallelujah. Put your faith there, you know, ask it, say it, but believe it with all your heart. You know, if you ask it in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Again, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, powerful scriptures. All things are possible to him that believeth. You know, this is the power of believing, you know, to get things accomplished that we are praying and believing God for. This wonderful story, Mark 11, that Jesus told concerning saying to the mountain and all that, after the disciples saw that the tree he cursed the previous day had now withered away. Here's what Jesus said in Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, I love this one too. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, so there are many things that are revealed in this short verse. One of them is, it's okay to desire. Jesus said it right here. But make sure your desire is in the light. Wrap your prayer in the word of God. You know, then that puts it in the light. It's according to his will. But it's okay to desire. Jesus said it. If God is not a teaser. You know, that he'll just dangle something in front of us, and then when we get close, he'll pull it away. Because he didn't want to give it to you anyway. He was just teasing you. No, God doesn't do that. If he tells you to ask, it means he wants to give it to you. Glory to God. But you must ask. You know, that's the way things operate in the kingdom. You know, God waits for you to ask him, you know, and so forth. You know, ask him so that he can do it for you. Praise God. Even the accuser, you know, will come up against God if he's just doing things without you asking. You know, so look, you got to ask. You got to ask. But there's another thing that is in this verse. When you pray, that means at the time of prayer. That means faith is now. You know, the answer may be later, but faith is now. You seal it right now at the moment of prayer. What things soever you desire, when you pray, at the time that you pray, you believe. And that's it. You know, once you do that, it's a done deal. You leave the rest, you know, ye shall have them. Well, it may be instantaneous. Sometimes God does that. It may be an hour later, it may be later that day, that week, month, year, whatever. But you believe at the time of prayer. Hallelujah. So faith is now. Now, when you pray, you believe. Glory to God. Now, listen to this also in John chapter 14. You know, here are some other blanket promises. And Jesus is able to do it. Because there is nothing you can really ask in the sphere of his will that, you know, he's afraid to give you. I cannot make promises like this, you know, to anybody. I mean, make this promise to my children. Say, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. I can't do it. because they are going to ask something that I would not be able to give or not want to give. Maybe they ask for my most prized possession, maybe my new car. And I don't want to give it away. You know, I want to enjoy that for myself. You go buy your own. You know, but Jesus says it right here. You know, John 14, 13 and 14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Hallelujah. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I mean, how in the world can you make a promise like that? Because you are God Almighty. That's it. You know, there is nothing you can ask him within the sphere of his will that he cannot do. He has the capacity to do it, and even then some. You know, I've often said that, look, it's like taking a bucket to that ocean. You know, what you can ask for is your bucket. What he can give is the capacity and the extent of that ocean. I mean, the extent of the ocean. It goes on and on and on. You can bring your bucket as many times as you want, and the ocean is still there, not even depleted. Ask anything in my name. Put it out right out there. You know, Jesus told them, look, you are not, you know, hitherto, he told the disciples, you have asked me nothing. Ask now, you shall receive, you know. You ask not, and that's why you receive not. And you ask, but you receive not because you ask amiss. I told, you know, also in the book of James, you know. So we need to ask properly according to the word of God. Now, if you shall ask anything in my name, John 14 and 14, I will do it. Look, if you can take that and run with it, then we don't need to be fretting when we pray. Ask it. He said, I will do it. Well, be sure, when we covered the principles of the oracles of God a few months back, you can check the replay and listen to that. We covered that extensively. We also covered it when we did the essentials of faith, or the anatomy of faith. We covered that extensively first, and we did the faith lab about that as well. You've got to find his promise on the thing that you're believing God for. Can't just be believing God for something that God has not promised. If he hasn't promised it, he's not backing it up. Maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. I don't know. But if he has promised it, and you are able to believe it and meet whatever conditions he asks for, then, you know, it's a done deal. So, again, here's another powerful blanket statement. He made a lot of these. John chapter 15 and verse 7. There's a big if here too. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. I mean, why are we not getting more things done for us? Is it because we are not abiding in him? Is it because his words are not abiding in us? Or is it because we are not believing the things that we are asking for? Now, believing means you don't ask something and then the next day you go dig it up, you know. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a man that planted seed in the ground. And he goes to bed. He doesn't know how the thing grows, but the earth brings forth of itself. First, the blade, then the air, then the full corn. You know, but you can't go plant it and then go dig it up the next day to see if it's growing. You plant it, you leave it there. Now, you may do some other things like, you know, clear away the weed around it, water it, make sure the sun shines to it and stuff. But you don't go dig up that ground. I mean, that seed from the ground. Leave it in the ground. The earth will bring forth of itself. But there's a process. First, the blade. Then, the ear. Then, after that, the full corn. The full corn may not come on the first day of the planting. It may not even come on the first day that the thing begins to show some fruit. It takes a long time. You know, but it's coming. Glory to God. You know, so we must, you know, examine these things and see why we are not approximating 100% in our asking and our receiving. You know, the ratio of your receiving versus what you are asking, check it out and see where you are. Are you at 30-fold? Or are you at 60-fold? Or are you at 100-fold? I've taught many lessons on how to approximate 100-fold, you know, faith and receiving. It always starts with the word of God. What is God's word concerning that situation? That's basically his will. You know, if he says, you know, it's about healing, he said, it is my will. One person came, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Jesus said, I will be thou made whole. Puts it out there. And then there may be some promise. Some condition to the promise. I like to call it a premise to the promise. You know, so you make sure that you believe the word of God, but also make sure that you are fulfilling whatever conditions are attached to that promise. For instance, the promise of healing in Exodus 15:26. There are four things that he says in that verse before he says, you know, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, he talks about many things. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, obey his voice, do that which is right in his sight, keep his statutes, and so on and so forth. You know, he said, then I will not put any of these sicknesses upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, so we got always, and even this one we just read in John 15:7. You know, you got to keep his word. Let his word be in you. You know, and then you, the Lord says, it will be done unto you. Here's a powerful promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And we cannot do a lesson on the great and exceeding precious promises of God without talking about that coming again of the Lord. Now, many believers, they don't want to hear that, or they don't think about it, or don't talk about it. You know, and many congregations or churches don't talk about it anymore. You know, all we want to do is just focus, you know, on this world and running after these things and this and that and so on. Well, but the fashion of this world passeth away. And, you know, one way or another, no matter what we are pursuing, which you, it's okay, God will give them to you. And then what? After he gives them to you. Don't let it, those things be a snare. This is one of the most incredible promises that we find here in this Bible. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Because they saw Jesus taken into the clouds, and they were there gazing up and wondering, wow, what manner of thing is this? I mean, they've seen all kinds of things those disciples did. But now just arising from the earth, defying gravity in their presence and just up into the clouds, up and away. And they're like, oh my goodness, what is this? I mean, he told us about it, but, you know, I mean, they're wondering in their hearts. And so the angel said to them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven and wondering in your hearts? You know, there's no need for you to wonder. This same Jesus, hallelujah, he shall come in like manner as you see him go up. Powerful promise. That's one of the best promises, you know, any believer, you know, should be looking for. He's coming. You know, he says that we should be building up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and looking daily for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We must be looking for his coming. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. Jude chapter 1, well, it's only one chapter, verses 20 and 21. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, do all of that to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, daily expecting him. Jesus said it himself. He said, ye also be like men that wait for their Lord, because you may not know whether he cometh in the third watch or fourth watch or fifth watch or at morning or at noon or whatever time. And so when he cometh, you'll be ready to open unto him immediately. Hallelujah. You know, so let's not lose sight of it. Yeah, we've talked about all kinds of things in these last several days of the promises of God, but this has to be the capstoning of it all. To know, Jesus said it in John chapter 14. He began to tell them these things. He said, look, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house, he said, there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But, you know, I now go to prepare a place, and I'll come again, and I will receive you unto myself. Powerful promise. John chapter 14, verse 3. I mean, I get excited when I talk even about that. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be there also. Isn't that beautiful? You know, this is it, folks. This is it. This is what we are waiting for. And along with that, you know, when you expand the word of God, the prophetic things that God is doing down through the ages, you will see that at the end of it all, when it all culminates, it is coming to this point in Revelation 11 and verse 15. The temple in heaven was opened after the seventh angel sounded. Oh my goodness. And there were many voices, ark of the testimony, seeing many things and so forth. And a proclamation that said the kingdoms of this world, hallelujah, have now become the kingdoms of our God and of his anointed one, the Christ. And we are the ones that will reign with him. This is it, folks. The book of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. He said it also when he was explaining the dream of the image of that Nebuchadnezzar saw. And he explained it down through all the kingdoms. And he said, look, for as much as you saw that there was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, this is what God is going to do. In the days of all these kingdoms and kings and so forth, which I call the mystery of iniquity, and has been walking through the ages, God will set up a kingdom, that will not be left to other people. But it's going to smash. It's going to destroy all these other kingdoms. Folks, anyone that thinks that this kingdom of this world is going to bring them peace, it's going to bring them this and all, you have another thing coming. In its current state, at best, kingdoms of this world, the very best of them, they are doomed to be smashed. That's it. They will be smashed, destroyed, broken to pieces, and the wind will carry them away, and God will set up a kingdom, glory to God, that shall not be left to other people, but the people of the saints of the Most High shall take their kingdom. They will possess it, and the Ancient of Days will come. Oh, glory to God. You establish the rule, establish the kingdom of God, and we shall crown, you know, everything, you know, in righteousness, we shall anoint the most holy. God has put us upon here on the earth right now to walk towards that. While we are looking for it, doesn't mean we just fold our arms and sit down here. No, the saints, the church are to walk towards bringing in everlasting righteousness. You know, that's our role. That's why Jesus said, don't take them from the earth. Leave them here. They got a role to play. Teach the nations the righteousness of God. And we got to do these things and so forth. And Matthew 24 and 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then the end shall come. Now notice, it is a gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of prosperity, not the gospel of this or that. All of that is not going to bring the end. But when this gospel of the kingdom is preached everywhere, then the end shall come. That's what we are looking for. And unto them that love his appearing, he will appear the second time without sin. This is the best and greatest promise of God, along with the other things that go with it, like the ones that Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day and all of that. All the things that culminate into Christ coming back, establishing for once and for all, the kingdom of God, his righteousness reigning upon the earth and setting us in place to reign with him. These are the greatest promises that we should look for. And we covered some of them yesterday when we did promises for the overcomer. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, for all that we have said, behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 57. I show you a mystery, he said. We shall not all sleep. Glory to God. But we shall all be changed. Now, everybody, some people say, well, we're all going to die. Well, that's not what the scripture says. You know, and Enoch didn't believe that either. Adam told him, we are waiting to die. You know, because he told all his generations, we're waiting to die. But they asked him, what is that? Just use your imagination. What are those? You know, why is that flaming sword? What are the cherubims doing there? Say, well, the garden is closed, son. You can't go in there. Why not? Well, this and this and that. You know, well, you mean you had the power we got to do all of that? You could talk to the animals. You could do all of these things. And you lost all of that, and you're just going to sit out here and wait to die? He said, well, son, I'm sorry, but you can't go in there. Enoch said, well, I'm going in there one way or another. All what's in there is coming to me. Hallelujah. And he began to press towards that light. Oh, glory to God. He would not settle for we're all going to die. Adam said, well, we're all waiting to die. He said, the day we eat, we shall die. So we're just waiting. The clock is ticking. Enoch said, glory to God. And boy, ladies and gentlemen, he's still alive until this day. We shall not all sleep, folks. You know, let's throw that myth away. And people say, oh, we're all going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. So that means everybody's going to die. Well, that's contrary to the scriptures. You know, there are even people that have died more than once, you know, since the world began. You know, Lazarus, whom Christ raised from the dead, died again. Many people who were raised from the dead into their natural body back again, they probably died again. They're still not with us. You know, so, but when you are raised into the glorious body, after that, there is no more death. You know, so we shall not all sleep, folks, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, we don't know when that moment will be. That's why we got to be prepared. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. These are powerful promises. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, you know, he's challenging death right here. Where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Well, we know the sting of death is sin, you know, and we know that the strength of sin is the law, but Jesus has perfected grace. Hallelujah. But thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, having there all these promises, well, be ye steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is Another promise that keep on keeping on. Give him all you got until you can give no more. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your strength. Never say you are too tired to do something for the Lord. Well, that means you're not giving him all your strength, all your might. Say, love the Lord thy God with all your strength, with all your might, with all your heart. Give him everything you got till you cannot give anymore. The last thing you want is to go, you know, and stand before the Lord, you know, on the day of reckoning when he gives out the rewards. For us, it's not judgment, but rewards. And then you find out they are still so full and you were not empty. And he just said, why are you still holding on to all the things I gave you to dish out? You know, you are still so full. You didn't dish it out. And he said, I don't know, you know, this and that and so forth. You know, I thought I wasn't qualified or I was tired or this. And Jesus would not be happy. So let's be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened in the power of God in your inner mind. Do all you can. Put it all on the line. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. It's not by power. It's not by might. But the Lord never asked us to do anything that he doesn't give us his spirit to accomplish. But by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, last but not the least, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. So this will wrap up everything for us. God is able to do, hallelujah, now unto him that is able to do, glory to God, exceeding abundantly above. Now that's first, it's exceeding, then it is abundantly, then it is above. All that we may ask or think, ask it, ask, you got it. If it is according to his will, as long as you believe it. And while you are waiting for it, declare it, that thou mightest be justified. Glory to God. So that's how the promises work. Hebrews 11 and 13. They saw the promise afar off. That's also another rule that I preach. It's called my faith specs. See the promise, that's the S. P is to be persuaded of it. E is to embrace it, and C is to confess it. Confess it while you are waiting for it. Hallelujah. And act like it already. If you are believing God for healing, then get up from bed. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If you are believing God for to be married, then start looking, shopping around for your wedding dress and all these things. If you are believing God for, a child, then, you know, start preparing the baby room. Hallelujah. Act like it. Abraham, he suddenly did. Believing God, told all his friends, don't call me that anymore. Oh, glory to God. They called him Abraham. He said, no, don't call me that. Call me Abraham. And they laughed at him. Abraham, father of nations. Come on. You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be father of nations? Look at us. We got all our children around about us. We don't even call ourselves that. And you? Are you going to be do more valiantly than all of us put together? But he said, I will be the father of nations. You know, and if you call me Abraham, I'm not going to respond. You must call me Abraham. Hallelujah. And he put it out there. He confessed it by even changing his name. You know, and for 25 years, he carried the evidence of that promise inside himself by changing his name. And glory to God. God left such stories like that in the Bible so that we ourselves will not be weary while we're waiting for the promise. And one long promise is the coming of the Lord, which today the scoffers now scoff at and say, since the fathers slept, we have been waiting. But lo and behold, it'll come and they will not taste of it. You know, that's right. Because whatever God promised in this Bible will be fulfilled. Glory to God. Now let's pray. After this, I will do, you know, a review of all the stuff that we have covered since this series. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for these powerful promises and the crescendo, the capstoning of them all that we have seen and talked about today, the coming again of the Lord, wherein he said that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be there with me. Father, we look forward to it. We look forward and we pray that you will help us to prepare ourselves, cast away the garments that are holding us down and every weight and sin and so forth besetting us, and make preparation for the great celebration that is coming when the Lord shall appear. Glory to God. Thank you for these wonderful promises, ladies and gentlemen. Having therefore these precious promises of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, what manner of men and women we ought to be, we must, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. For without holiness shall no man see the Lord. Lord, we thank you for all the promises in the sphere of the natural and all the great things that you promised for us, which by faith we can receive and attain unto. May the Lord bless everyone. May the Lord inspire his word in your heart to encourage you to continue to believe God. Believe, and it shall be done for you. Hallelujah. Be it unto you according to your faith. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That wraps up this series, and we are done. It's been almost 7 days, I think. We've been doing these great, exceeding, precious promises of God. So I want to throw the floor open now for review. Your review can be on any part of this since we started. As a reminder, we spoke about promises of God that are conditional, promises that are unconditional. We spoke about, you must know the promise for it to be a promise. Somebody promised something, you didn't know they promised it, then it's not a promise to you because you didn't know about it. So that's very important. And then we spoke about faith being mixed with faith in your heart when you know the promise. We looked at many aspects of these promises that cover, these promises covering many aspects of our life. We talk about salvation. The first lesson after the introduction was salvation, forgiveness, eternal life, and things like that. The second lesson, I think, had to do with deliverance and protection. Another lesson had to do with healing, health, rest, and peace. Yet another lesson had to do with prosperity and restoration and favor. I mean, many, many promises, and then we did promises for our children. And that was another lesson. And then we did the overcomers, promises to the overcomers, powerful stuff yesterday. All these things that help our hearts to be, make your hearts pound. These are the things that our hearts should be pounding for. Not our next car or our next house. Those are not the things that should excite us. But the things about the kingdom of God, the coming again of the Lord. This is what you make your heart to pound. Hallelujah. And today we wrapped it up with promises about God's guidance. And then also some other, generic, all-encompassing promises. And finally, promises about the coming of the Lord. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I want to invite you now to share the things that you picked. We've been doing this for 7 days now. What are the things that you picked that stood out for you? And you can also give your testimonies. Glory to God.